Okay, we've kind of hit various points, but now we're on to revelation confirmed in history. Okay, so we're applying the classical model of apologetics that Christianity has some sort of role in our history. According to the classical apologist, history is important to apologetics because it is in history that God has revealed himself. As Warfield explained, Christianity is not a religion of ideas that is of some timeless, eternal varieties, but it's rather a religion of fact. To show that Christianity is rational, then, it is necessary to show that God has revealed himself in history, specifically as recorded in scripture. Again, people kind of want to have a pick and choose variety. Oh, Confucianism and Jesus kind of sound similar, and those are kind of good philosophies to live by. You live at peace with people, and so I'm just going to take that, and there's truth. It's kind of it works model. That's not what Christianity is. In fact, without being rooted in history, those things are just fortune cookie things that you find in our American-made processing plants for our Chinese food. That's even an American invention there. But logically, before that can be shown, one must know that it is possible for God to have revealed himself to show us in history. At this point, the modern apologist confronts the question of whether historical knowledge is even possible.
Right. So the issue here is, what's the relationship between apologetics and history? And the problem here is that often, sometimes anyway, history can be seen as some type of subjective way of viewing the past, where I pick out the various events that I want to explain,
Right.
and so it's very subjective, and it's not, there's no objective view with regard to history. And so what they tell us is that Geisler, for instance, addresses the supposed subjectivity of historical knowledge by arguing that scientific knowledge is conceded to be possible despite its subjective dimensions, right, of the scientific enterprise. So even scientific knowledge has some subjective dimensions. Scientists choose what area they're going to cover, and they pick out, the various theories that they think they want to examine and confirm and that sort of thing. So we might say, well, science is subjective as well, right? So there are dimensions of subjectivity in science as well as in history, right? And so they suggest that Geisler admits that no human historian can be objective, if this is defined to mean possessing absolute knowledge.
Right.
But historians, historians can have an objective view of the past if this is understood to mean, quote, a fair but revisable presentation. So you can't have, to a certain extent, an objective view of the past. It isn't all subjective, as long as you work it like you do a scientific theory, right? Here's my theory of the way things are, but it's subject to being revised based on more facts coming into the issue.
Right. Who started the Civil War? Was it those who fired the first shot, or those that goaded them into it? And so you have to evaluate, you have to be willing to be revised on it. And there are some people who write that big historical book that gets them all the accolades, and they don't want to move from that position. And someone comes along and challenges that position. It's hard for the historian who has the accolades to kind of put that aside, because that's what they've made their name to. And what does that say about their next big work if the amateur historian finds that no, it was actually this other side that fired the first shot, and that's what kicked off everything. And so it's knocked down the main historian's tower, and he can't show his face again, or he can't sign those books anymore, because it's all false. So we talked about this in How to Be an Atheist, which Mick Stokes, about how we have to be careful when we say scientists say, well, or the science says, well, no, scientists say, and so scientists should also be willing to kill their theories. And that's really sometimes hard for people. Sometimes people hold on to those theories their entire lifetimes and are shown again and again to be incorrect in the hopes that it'll come around and they'll be shown to be correct. And so historians have that same built-in flaw as well. And we're all people, and sometimes it's hard for us to admit that we were wrong, especially when we publish things. Well, Geisler denies that the facts speak for themselves. If this is taken to mean that the facts bear only one meaning, and they bear it evidently, he agrees that there is no so-called bare facts, but insists that the meaning and facts bear is assigned to them by minds and do not emanate from the facts themselves. Again, you can look at the battlefield, you can see one way or the other how things turn out, but it, again, our presuppositional model, it's what the mind does to interpret those facts and to call something good or negative is depending on what's known and gathered as evidence under a worldview position, and Geisler is making that point here for our historians.
Right. So notice what Geisler is saying. He's suggesting that the objectivity of all knowledge of facts, including knowledge of history, rests on the truth of the theistic worldview. Now, how is that the case? How does it rest on the view, right, the truth of theistic worldview? Well, he says if God exists, then all facts are what they are because God says so, right? Because he can view all of the history and present and future at the same time. And we have a true, if that's the case, right, we have a true and objective knowledge insofar as we accept the meaning of the facts as given by God. So God gives us the objectivity with regard to, history. So arguments for the theistic worldview then come logically prior to arguments about historical facts. Since our objective knowledge of those facts depend on our considering them within the context of the correct worldview, right? So yes, subjectivity, we can morph into subjectivity when we're looking at various historical facts, right? But we can eliminate that if we have the proper worldview. And Geisler is suggesting here that the theistic worldview, the perspective that God gives us, allows us to have objectivity in history. So that's so what is the relationship between apologetics and history? Well, we defend the fact that God exists, and as a result of that, we can have a objective view of history because we can view history from God's perspective as he reveals it to us.